April the 10th. It's been a while back, hasn't it? A few months ago. Does anybody remember what the first serious servant's title was? Nope. Pop quiz. I mean, I've got it right in front of me, but that's cheating, I guess, you know. But I'm the teacher tonight, so praise the Lord, I can give the quiz. All right. Okay, I need some help up here. Where's all my helpers? Isaac, you're back. Praise God. Come here, Isaac, help me out. Titus, ink pens. I do have a fill out for you, and the minute I give it to you, then you're going to know. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a pop quiz. I'm not going to try to make you answer all of them. I have talked to some, and they try to fill it out before I share it, just to see if they can remember what the scriptures say, you know, and it's kind of a little challenge. They got their own game going on in the midst of it, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. That just means it's in there or getting in there. Praise the Lord. Does anybody know what the first title was of the Serious Servants Institute? Anybody got there yet? Looked at it yet? No one's done it yet, huh? Well, I see some of them writing. I see some of them reading. It's going to be the first one on the handout. If you got the first part, you know, if you got the title on looking at you and not the other part, then you'll have it right there. You got it in your hand. No. The birth of a servant. That's the first one. The birth of a servant. It's kind of threw you off because all the rest of them are in the middle and that one's over to the left. I'm sorry. That's how teachers are, you know. Like to make it tricky. The very first Serious Servants Institute was the birth of a servant. So, Brother Lucas, you can go ahead and put it up there now. They've got the handouts in their hands. So, Lindsay, you got halfway filled out yet? How about you, Maddie? Praise the Lord. A review. What is a review? That means you start looking back at what you've already taught, what you've already shared, to put it back fresh in our minds again. Like in school, they have a time when they have a quiz. And what a quiz is just really the same information that they just done in previous 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 lessons. And the quiz is to see what you can remember from those lessons. And so we've done, and this is, I started actually to do all of them that we've done, but I realized real quick we weren't going to have time for that. So right tonight we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different titles that we're going to review tonight, and there's about 6 more. And I had all of them put together for tonight. I had 4 pages for you to fill out tonight, but I got to thinking about that, and Sister Pepper encouraged my heart and my mind, said, you know, you may get hung up on one, and you know how long we'll be there if we do 4 pages? I said, you're right. I better break this down into 2 times. So there will be a servant's review number 2 coming in the wings. So if you have your handouts that you've you know, been given and filled out, and you've got them stored in a file somewhere so you can go back and read them from time to time, then you might want to go do that. Now, if you put them in file 13, you're out of luck, and you're not going to pass your test. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, a Serious Servants Institute. The School of Ministry. Does anyone remember what ministry we all have? The ministry of reconciliation. Is that what you're going to say? Servant. Okay. So the School of Ministry, Serious Servants Institute, School of Ministry, and we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Does anybody remember what reconciliation, that ministry, involves? We're on the right track here, I do believe. Wow. Do you know how many times I've told you what the school and the ministry of reconciliation means? There you are. The ministry of reconciliation is witnessing, being a witness, a light to shine, sharing the gospel, bringing people to Jesus Christ, reconciling them unto God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's not on your notes there, but that's what we talked about. When we first started Serious Servants Institute and the School of Ministry, is that we all have the ministry of reconciliation, and to fulfill that ministry of reconciliation, then we are going to have to become that serious servant of the Lord. And so the first category, the first teaching that we did was the birth of a servant. Amen. And then we gave the definition of a servant. And it's there on your handout, a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him, one who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. We talked about that this morning, the reality of being surrendered to God, subject to his command, keeping his commands. I wish I could have preached that more in its entirety this morning. Just the reality that, it is our responsibility to be that serious servant subject to the command of the Lord. The word is correlative, linked to master. Servant differs from slave as a servant subject to his master is voluntary. A slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but not every servant. Or every servant is not a slave. And so we see then a servant, a serious servant, the birth of the servant. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In that particular teaching, we covered a lot of territory from being born again by the Spirit of God. That new birth, being born by the Word of God. In other words, born again by the Word of God. Peter talked about that. And that new creature that is created in us by that salvation experience. As Sister Sarah shared hers tonight, and when she got up from that place of prayer, it's like the burden had lifted off, the weight had fallen off, and everybody's going to have a salvation experience to testify about. Everybody, I'm going to say that again. Everybody's going to have a salvation experience to testify about. Because if you don't have a salvation experience to testify about, that means you haven't had one yet. You've got to have that born-again experience by the Spirit of God to where there is a change that takes place inside. And all the burden of sin and the weight of sin is taken away, and a new creature is put in its place that makes you feel light, that makes you have joy, that makes you have peace, and you know that you've been changed by the power of God. There's the birth of the servant. And that's what we dealt with in our first lesson and teaching on a Serious Servants Institute. And then our second one, and Sister Pepper mentioned that, the Spirit-filled servant. Praise God. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. See the ministry of reconciliation. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so we're seeing then the servant is, there's a birth of a servant, and then there's this infilling of the Spirit of God, to where the servant now can become more effective for the kingdom. Don't you want to be effective for God? Or do you just want to be lackadaisical? Or do you want to be effective? You want to make a difference in somebody's life, or you just don't care what you do? Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a new creature in Christ, you care what you do. Because there has been a servant's heart, and we'll get to that one, a servant's heart birthed in you, hallelujah, to where you want to witness, you want to be a light to shine, you want to be that servant of the King. So Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. Do you know you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost sitting down? But do you know that once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost sitting down, you're going to be standing up? As you go on to read the story, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And, you know, if you go on and read in Acts chapter 2, you realize they come down out of that upper room. That means it was upstairs. They all come down the stairs. They made it outside, praise God, and they're still worshiping God, still speaking in tongues. And the mighty power of the Holy Ghost begins to move all across that community and that area where they're at. They're up, aren't they? Because they're moving now. They've moved outside the doors. But they're still speaking in tongues. They're still worshiping God. The Holy Ghost is still moving. And then Peter and the other 11 stand up. And then Peter's the main one that begins to preach, or that is recorded for you and I. And he begins to tell the whole story about Jesus Christ and how they crucified him. You think they would have got madder than a hornet? They didn't. They were pricked in their hearts and repented of their sin, were saved, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost too. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't tell us that right there in Acts chapter 2, but as we read the whole book of Acts, we find that's the pattern. You get saved, you get full of the Holy Ghost, and you start being witnesses. Praise God. And so that Spirit-filled servant, you've got to have that encounter with the Holy Ghost where he is having control of your life. But then you got to maintain it. You got to maintain it. You got to keep it alive. You got to stay surrendered. Young people, you can't go through the youth camp syndrome. What is youth camp syndrome? Getting high and filled with the Holy Ghost, getting on fire for God at youth camp. But when you come back to the normal house of God and normal everyday living, you got to fight. You've got to lay a hold of the kingdom of God. You've got to submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. In other words, you got to start living that Christian life now. Oh, yeah. You got to be a warrior. Woo. You've got to be a Spirit-filled servant. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why God pours out his Spirit. That's why, and don't misunderstand me, youth camp's a wonderful thing, because God pours out his Spirit. God refreshes. God revives. God delivers. God works mighty works. But then he expects us to walk there, live there, and stay there. Woo, praise God. The Spirit-filled servant, number two. So then we went on to the Spirit-filled servant, number two. And we began to talk about all the servants in the Bible. All the ones that stood up for God. All the ones that had another spirit with them. Oh, praise God. And the one that I put here on our handout tonight was Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. See, here was the promise to Caleb about that mountain, that place that he chose. And we preached about that, you know, here not too long ago. But Caleb had another spirit with him. In other words, he wasn't like everybody else. Oh, praise God. He was a follower of God. He went in with the other 10 spies. Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies went in and saw the same land, same people, same giants. And Caleb and Joshua come out and said, "We can take the land. God's with us." He wasn't like the other 10. Said, "Oh, my, they're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes." Why? Because they had seen God do mighty works already, and they were believers of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see in 1 Kings 18:36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. So the understanding of Spirit-filled servant number two is the servants of the Lord follow their God. They do great exploits for God. Hallelujah. Just like Sister Pepper was testifying tonight about Brother Wright. He was doing a great exploit for God by helping us and a graduation ceremony for our son. He was doing great exploits for God. Sometimes our minds get too big for what a great exploit is. Because a great exploit is anything that is doing and exalting an almighty God. That's a great exploit for God. Hallelujah. You just saying no to temptation is a great exploit for God. Hallelujah. And that's what Spirit-filled servants are all about. That's what the baptism in the Holy Ghost is all about, that you and I might do great exploits for God. You may never go to a missions field, but if you drop money in that missionary offering, you've done a great exploit for God. We've got to understand that everything about God's kingdom that you and I do, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. Hallelujah. You remember that? Praise God. That was another man of God that helped us in a wonderful time. Hallelujah. It's a big thing. It doesn't make any difference what you're going through. It's a big thing, and God's bigger. Praise God. So the Spirit-filled servant number two is the reality that all of God's people were servants. I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Caleb followed me fully. Fully. That means with everything. All of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, all of his strength. Praise God. I got a question for you. Two questions. How many's ever been tempted to do wrong? Everybody has. How many have fought that temptation with all your strength? You don't have to raise your hand. See, there's the key right there. When temptation comes, do you give it your strength? Do you give it all you've got to say no? Because if you don't, you're not following God with all your strength. Woo. You're not following God with all your mind if you allow the temptation to stay there in your mind. Temptation is going to come. There is no way that it cannot. You are still on the face of this earth. You are still part carnal and part spiritual. And temptation's going to come. But what's got to transform is my mind frame about being the servant of the Lord and fighting against it with all my mind, all my strength, all my heart, and all my soul. Because then that shows forth how much I love God. Because the only way God can know that love is if it is tested. If it is tested. So the Spirit-filled servant number two. I'm glad you helped me shorten this up, Sister Pepper. Praise God. So is the whole congregation, I'm sure. Praise God. I could be here all night. I really could. I mean, this to me is just the meat of God's word that we need in these last days so desperately. To realize that I'm thankful for worship, I'm thankful for praise, but we got to serve our God. Hallelujah. Whether we get opportunity to worship and praise in the house of God or not, we've got to serve Him. Brother Timmy, if our life is threatened, we still have to serve our God. You know, we may not feel an emotional high at that time of life-threatening situation, but we still have to serve our God. It'd be like those Hebrew boys. Hey, our God's going to deliver us, but if He doesn't, God, He's going to deliver, or King, He's going to deliver us from you. Praise God. Whether they burned or whether they survived, they were serving God. Ooh, praise God. Glory. Spirit-filled servant number three. Yeah. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The understanding that the servant of the Lord is to be profitable to all. It's not a matter of look how spiritual I am. That's not it at all. That's not a servant at all. That's just pride. We'll get to that here in a little bit too. But just the Spirit-filled servant number three is the reality of letting the Spirit of God manifest Himself in our lives to profit with all. Once again, reflecting off what Sister Pepper shared, that's what Brother Wright was doing. What was that? That was a manifestation of the Spirit of God in Brother Wright's life and the people of that church's life to extend that hospitality and that help to us, that love to us. Hallelujah. That's a great exploit. Praise God. And that was the manifest. And of course, I realize the emphasis is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So the Spirit-filled servant should be coveting the best gifts, not for personal glorification, but for church-wide edification. Amen. To profit with all. See, that was the whole problem the Corinthian church was having. Everybody was being puffed up saying, hey, I'm used by God. You're not. You know, we don't want any of that. Then Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's not anything that says thou shalt not that's going to bring these into my life. None of the fruit of the Spirit will come into my life by not doing something of the world. These things only come into our lives as we continually surrender to the Spirit of God for that transforming power to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so we see then we need the baptism in the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled servant. Amen. We need the obedience to the Spirit of God, Spirit-filled servant number two. And Spirit-filled servant number three, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost to where the fruit of the Spirit is coming forth out of our lives. And I apologize, I didn't put, I do believe it's Ephesians chapter 9. I didn't get my Ephesians put in there. Sometimes copy and paste mess you up. Because there was more parts of that scripture than just verse 9, and I only grabbed verse 9, but I'm pretty sure it's Ephesians, and it's verse 9 of one of the chapters. See if you can go find it after church. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. A lot of times we emphasize on Galatians, fruit of the Spirit, but the reality is when the Spirit of God is really flowing in a servant's life, that life is going to be filled with all goodness and all righteousness and all truth. Praise God. In other words, this is what God's provided for His people. And glory. I mean, this, we mentioned a little bit of it this morning, of everything God has provided in His plan of salvation. And this is part of it. And this is why it's so exciting to be a servant of the Lord. Because that's where you get to tap into all these great things that God has provided for His people. But if you're not serious about being a servant, you ain't going to get any of this stuff. Your life will be miserable because you're not living victorious. You're always being pulled away by the enemy of your soul because you haven't stepped up to be a serious servant of the Lord, because it takes great effort to be a serious servant of the Lord. It took great effort for Caleb. It took great effort for Joshua. You'll read the story of Joshua. Where did you always find Joshua when he wasn't leader? He was right there in the leader's back pocket. That's where he was. He was right there in the tabernacle. He was right there when Moses getting the law. He's right there just basking in the presence of an almighty God, because it wasn't his turn to step in yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Want to be a great leader? Be a great follower. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I got to get back to my notes here. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is reverbing off the misery. A miserable person trying to be a Christian, but yet there is no joy, there's no peace, there's no power. What's going on there? Well, they're under condemnation because they're not really walking in Christ. And thus there's no joy. There's no fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing there because they're not walking after the Spirit. They're walking after the flesh. The old self life does not bring joy. It might bring some pleasure to this old body of flesh. But I got news for you. When this body of flesh burns in hell, you ain't going to think it's happy then. Hello. You know, because that's where sin's going to put you. That's where sin's going to put me if I go to that route. And so I've got to press, and we'll get to that here in a little bit too. Praise God. So I'm not walking after the flesh. I'm going to walk after the Spirit because I don't want to be under condemnation all the time. I want to have love. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. I want to have meekness. I want to have long-suffering. Don't you want the good things of God? They're all there available. Hallelujah. Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Holy Ghost doesn't always lead you into places that are easy. Holy Ghost is going to take you to places where you can grow. How many's ever heard of the school of hard knocks? Yeah. Most of us that I know here tonight are candidates for school of hard knocks. Well, why do you say that, Brother Pepper? Because most of us are pretty set-headed. We've got our own thoughts on things. And so God's just going to let us keep going until we fall on our face and have to cry out to God because we're in trouble again. What is that? That's a school of hard knocks. In other words, you know, the teachers, the preachers, and I just want to say this here tonight too, because we are truly blessed in this church. I mean, we've got lay preachers, we got associate pastors, we got youth leaders. I mean, we've got young preachers rising up. I mean, we've got so much of God's word coming our way, we ought to be super spiritual Christians. Wow. I didn't get hardly anything out of that. Maybe I said it wrong. Sometimes I'm known for that. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What is this? This is Jesus' move into ministry. Where does he go first? He goes to the River Jordan and gets baptized by John. Not because he had any sin to repent of, but he wanted to follow protocol. He wanted to do what was right. So he goes and he gets baptized by John. And John says, I'm not going to baptize you. John said, I need to be baptized by you. See, John had great insight to the coming Messiah. More than probably we give him credit for, because he knew. Because the Holy Ghost, John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mom's womb. I don't know if you remember that or not. And he had great insight. Why? Because he spent his life in fellowship with God. And God showed him things. And he knew that who he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove on was the Christ. He didn't realize his cousin, because they were cousins. He didn't realize his cousin Jesus was the Christ until that day. They may not even had a whole lot of communication throughout their lives, except maybe once or twice a year. But the Holy Ghost revealed that to John. And the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus Christ after he was baptized in Jordan. And immediately now he's full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost takes him to the wilderness. Wow, what a way to start your ministry. I can relate to that. I really can. Not everything is joyous about ministry. Young ministers, I'll just let you know that. Not everything's joyous about ministry, because God's got to train you for the ministry He's calling you to. And a lot of times you don't know the ministry He's calling you to, but you just know He's calling you. Hallelujah. And the Lord's taken me to several wildernesses. Amen. And I didn't realize why I had to go to the wilderness, but now that it's all said and done, I'm thankful I went. Amen. Because it changed me. It transformed me. It showed me who I really was and what I really am, so that I could get a little modification going on. Hallelujah. For the ministry God was calling me to. You see, I never thought about pastoring. I sure never thought about pioneering a church. I just accepted the call to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I didn't even plan on evangelizing. But God said, that's what I want you to do. So I'd never done it before, so we do that. Then He wants me to pastor a church. Never done that before, so we do that. We leave that church, and God says, I want you to pioneer a church. And I said, we ain't never done that before either, but now we've done that. All it takes is a serious servant of the Lord to get things accomplished. Because God needs you, and God needs me to accomplish the work He wants done. Are you ready to work? There it is. What's your work ethic like? If it's not real strong, then there's where you need to work. Because if you have not a strong work ethic, you will really never do anything for God. Because it takes great work ethic. It really does. That's part of a servant's life. That's part of a servant's heart. That's the next one. Servant's heart. Serving is designed to deal with pride and ambition. Remember the story that we used in the servant's heart about the disciples and the Last Supper? And had a bunch of disciples with dirty feet, and nobody wanted to wash their feet. And Jesus took a towel, girded around Him, took water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. What was He showing them? Serving is designed to deal with pride and ambition. Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. That word foolishness could be defined selfishness. And fretteth means angry against God. So the selfishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart becomes angry against God. What is that? That's really like me causing all the mess that's in my life, and then I get mad at God because my life's a mess. I've never been there. I'm sorry. I've never been there. I never could bring myself to get mad at God. I just have never been able to do that. How could I get mad at the one that washed my sins away? You know, how could I blame Him for something? No. But see, what is that? What's it say there? Foolishness of man, selfishness of man, perverteth his way. So how do I go astray? Just be selfish. You'll go astray. Don't even have to try hard at all. Just be selfish and you will be astray. And so we see then a servant's heart, that God begins to deal with my selfishness. And He begins to deal with my anger. I mean, you know, a servant's heart is one that wants God to get the glory, not self. Genesis 41:46, right ways of serving. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. But it wasn't always like that. So that gives us insight up to 30 years old, from the time Joseph was a teenager to the time he was 30 years old, it seemed like everything went wrong in his life. Nothing ever went his way or stayed good very long. Anybody else been there? Whoa. Everything going wrong. Everything not going my way. I mean, just every... Joseph had served in whatever capacity or situation he had been placed in, even though he was mistreated and forgotten. Every time things went south, he just looked north. That's how I look at it. You know, because that whole terminology, when things go south, that means they just go bad. But God dwells in the north. That's where good's at. And so every time everything went south, I mean, his brothers turned on him. His brothers were going to kill him. One brother stepped up and saved his life, and then they sold him as a slave. He gets bought by a man of prominence, and because of Joseph's desire to serve, he becomes head of Potiphar's house and the keeper of all the servants and everything underneath Potiphar. Are you getting the picture? The servant will always be blessed. And even though it was a bad situation, God blessed him in the middle of it because of his servant's. What is that? No matter where I'm at, I'm going to serve Jesus. No matter what's going wrong, I'm still going to do what's right. Are you getting the picture? I mean, that's the servant's heart of Joseph. And so then he's lied upon. He's thrown in prison. And what does he do? Everything's going south. He looks north. And he just looks at prison. Okay, where can I serve God in prison? And what happens? He becomes the leader in the prison. Everything's turned over to him in the prison. He helps the jailmaster in the prison. I mean, wow. I mean, what? Servant's heart. Then there's dreams. God gives him the interpretation of the dreams. And he asks him, when you get back to Pharaoh, tell him about my situation here. Everything's against me, but I'm a good guy. Let him know. They forgot. So now, teenager, probably 16 years have passed, possibly. 12 to 16 years have passed. And finally, the Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler, oh yeah, I remember Joseph. Oh, ain't no telling how many years that was. But where are you to find Joseph? Just serving God, right where he's at. And now at the appointed time, he's taken from the prison. He interprets the dreams. He's now second chariot to Pharaoh, the ruler of one of the mightiest people on the face of the earth at that time. Oh, by the way, did I tell you why he's there? Because God's going to preserve his promise to Israel. And he's going to take care of his people. And all the calamity Joseph went through was to get him to where he could be used by God in a humble place when his brothers come back on the scene. And God kept Israel alive and preserved the seed of Israel through Joseph, the servant of the Lord. Praise God. That's an awesome story. I mean, I love sharing that if you haven't figured that out yet. Because that servant's heart. You want to go a long ways wherever you work, make sure you're the best worker you've ever been. I have found out that that works wonderful. You just work as unto the Lord. We're going to get to that here in a minute, too. Praise God. Servant's heart number two, and we're almost done. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Praise God. In other words, serving the Lord, given to God. That's the most important part of Christianity. Servant's heart is a heart of perseverance. And I didn't put all of them in here, but we covered different character traits, different things that a servant's heart produces. And so I just grabbed up a few of them here. And so we see perseverance. In Galatians 6 and 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's not just talking about souls. That's not talking about church growth. That is talking about spiritual life. Hallelujah. And a servant's heart. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because we're going to reap the life everlasting. We're going to reap the Spirit of God moving in our lives. We're going to reap right now, praise God. Not when we get to heaven. We're going to reap it then. But the whole understanding here is when we sow to the Spirit, we are going to reap the glorious, wonderful things of an almighty God. If we just keep doing it, just like Joseph. He just kept doing it, and look where he ended up. He ended up a type of Christ, the Savior of God's people. Praise God. My, does that not stir your heart to want to do something for God? To persevere and keep pressing forward, hallelujah, and sowing to the Spirit of God? Passion. Passion. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Once again, work ethic. Where does work ethic come from? Comes from this scripture right here. Comes from the Holy Ghost of God. Comes from the Word of God. Comes from the reality that whatever I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for the King. I'm doing it for my God. And so I need to do it with, what does heartily mean? All my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. Well, praise God. Do you realize that's the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord. But do you realize to show that love to God, you've got to do your work with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You've got to live doing that every day of your life, or no matter what you lay your hand to, you're doing that to God. Sometimes that's hard to wrap our minds around, because we think, oh, this ain't that big a deal. And here's the biggest one. Why? What am I ever going to need math for? What do I need algebra for? Well, how many in here know exactly what God's going to do with your life if you're 20 years and below? How many in here know exactly what God's going to do with your life? You don't know yet, do you? So now, whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, so you'll be prepared when he asks you. Woo, praise God. He may want you to be a math teacher. May want you to be a science teacher. He may want you to be a teacher where you teach science, math, history, English, and all of them. I wish I would have paid a little more close attention when I was in school. I had to learn it all from our Christian school. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been to school now for 25 years. I need a doctor's degree somewhere in there, I think. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Passion. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. A serious servant of the Lord is going to have a great work ethic, because everything he lays his hand to, he's going to do it with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his soul, all of his strength, because that's what it takes. That's passion towards our God. And because I'm putting it towards God, that means it goes out this way too. According to all those that are around me. You want to keep a job? You work like that. And you will just keep going right up on that pay scale. I know. I've experienced it. Hallelujah. People are looking for good workers. Everywhere you go, man, we can't find any workers, let alone a good worker. Wow. Why? Because this has left the hearts and the minds of even a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are just living like the world, like, give me, give me, give me. Oh, you mean I got to do something? Oh, I'll move next door. Give me, give me, give me. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm to give. I'm to give. I'm to give all I have into what they've asked me to do. I don't want to go there. There's just been times in my life where, you know, when you're a Christian and you work in a public place, sometimes they like to do things just to see if you're a Christian. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved it, Brother Timmy. I really did. Because they, you know, I was working in a boat trailer manufacturing warehouse, escort trailer. I was put on an automatic welder, Brother Shelton. I didn't have to weld them myself. I just had to push the buttons and make the welder do it. There's a big arm, and it come over, and it welded that axle on there. It welded a spindle on an axle. I did that all day long. I'd go from one side to the other. There was two different stations, big computer system over here, big armed robot over here, and most of the time you didn't really have to do anything but load the thing, unload the thing. Put another bar. I don't know. They weighed 50, 60, 80 pounds. Depends on which ones it was. It's 100 pounds. Yeah, I mean, I did that all day. But everybody thought that was a gravy job. And it probably was. So my supervisor thought, you know, you need to expand your horizons here at Escort Trailer. You need to go work some of these other machines, you know, where there's stuff, grease and stuff, and just, you know, like a whole lot more manual labor. And there were just several guys there. You know how people are. You know, they thought, all right, here's Doug Pepper, you know. He hardly ever gets dirty when he goes to work. And we've got you over here now in a part of the shop where you're going to get filthy. You know, I come out of there not dirty. That's all a matter of mind, in my opinion, but I just didn't want to get dirty, so I didn't get dirty. And if you get dirty, that's fine. But we were working this one thing, and the other guy, he was a man from Louisiana. He was a Cajun. I mean, he was a genuine Cajun. He had the accent and everything. He was just, I mean, you know, just real little wiry guy, you know. But we were bending the frames of the boat trailers, making them half round, and we had to put that thing, and that they drilled holes in it. And then they put it in the bender, and, you know, you had to be there alongside of it, taking it through there. And there had to be two of you, because when it got done, you had to take a 2x2 stick about 2 foot long and stick it in the end of the tube, pick it up. So he's laughing at me. He says, oh, you're going to get dirty today, because I've worked here. I don't know how many years he worked there, and I've never come out of here dirty. Or not dirty. I always come out here filthy. I said, okay, we'll see. And he said, you know, you reckon you can keep up? I said, I don't know. We'll see. Well, you know the rest of the story. I came out clean. I kept up. And his jaw hit the floor. You know, why? Because I was doing it unto the Lord. I've just always, when I read that scripture, I've taken that serious. And whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because I'm doing it unto God. And I want to be a help to whoever I'm helping. And so they didn't keep me there very long. They put me off somewhere else. And here we go. We're going through the same thing again. You know, they're going to see what you're made of. That's awesome to me, because that means you can show them what you're made of. I'm made of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. It's your opportunity to show them what you're made of. Hallelujah. That's part of a servant's heart. That's part of that passion. Praise God. It's not wrong to be passionate about doing right. Praise God. allegiance. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Who's number one in your life? Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Number one. Now what is that? Setting your affections on things above. Praise God. Hallelujah. In other words, letting your mind be occupied with things above. Hallelujah. If you keep them occupied with things below, you're going to be living below, and you'll be below. But if I remember right, everything about God is above, not below. The only thing below is hell. Heaven is above. Woo. And so as servant's heart number two came to a close, we talked about fortitude, courage. It's going to take great courage to stand in the crowd. It's going to take great courage to worship when visitors are in the church. Anybody ever find that? Get a lot of visitors come into the church, you don't worship like you did before. You get a little self-conscious. A servant of the Lord worships everywhere. Worships all the time. Not concerned of who's there, who's not. Go read the book of James. Anybody in here read your Bible? Oh, wow. That was one you should have raised your hand on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Well, we need to go right back to the basics. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Word of God is so wonderful. Go read the book of James. I tell you, James, he's something else now. Praise God. I mean, he just lets us know what we need to do to live for God. And that's what we're hungry for. That's what we're desiring for. Because we're not setting our affection on things of this earth. We're setting our affection on things above. And it's going to take great fortitude. And with a heart of fortitude and courage, we overcome our fear and are willing to take risk as a follower of Jesus Christ. A person with courage is willing to stand up for what is right in the sight of God, even if it means accepting rejection, verbal abuse, or even physical harm and death. Are you ready to die for God? Brother Timmy was testifying, exhorting a little bit about that. Spiritual fortitude refers to one's ability to draw consistently, on spiritual resources to transcend, that means make it through, and endure negative emotions in the face of stressors. Do you understand what that means? That there are people out there that find joy in stressing you out. I'm not talking about husband and wife's relationships right now. Praise God. I'm talking about a serious servant of the Lord as he encounters those of this world. And it's going to take fortitude to stand up for what is right in the midst of the peers. Wow. Anybody want that? Because I got news for you. It's not an option. Let me say it like this. Anybody want to go to heaven? How many in here want to go to heaven? Okay, well, what I just read to you tonight, that's how you're going to go. That's what it's going to take. You're going to have fortitude, and you're going to have to live for Jesus in front of your peers. Praise God. How many realize Jesus lived in front of his peers at the age of 12. Anybody in here 12? Well, of course you are. Yeah. Anybody right at the age of 12? Are you 12? Oh, I am so sorry. Did I point at you? Did that embarrass you? Surely not. Let me come down there and embarrass you more. No. Praise God. The age of 12, Jesus was in the temple. And Jesus was talking with all the scholars. And actually, it seems to be evident that Jesus had learned more in the synagogues that he attended in Nazareth. Because he did. He attended the synagogue every Sabbath. And he had learned more in the synagogue than these scholars had learned. And it's not because he was the Son of God. It was because he was a serious servant of the Father. And he applied himself to learn the Scriptures. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You young preachers want to be great preachers? Then learn the Scriptures. You know what the Bible says, you'll always have something to preach. You ever wonder why you pastors can just come up here with two scriptures and preach for an hour? Because they know all the rest of them by heart. Hallelujah. And they just begin to share them all. That's why we're so long-winded. Because you can't never get enough of scripture. Woo! Praise our God. Hallelujah. Fortitude. Fortitude. Endure negative emotions. What are negative emotions? Negative emotions are wanting to give up, wanting to throw in the towel, wanting to quit fighting. Those are negative emotions. But you're going to have fortitude to push them aside and go north. The author and the finisher of our faith lives in the north. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our mediator between the Father and ourselves. He lives in the north. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's making intercession for you and I. I mean, wow, when we start surveying everything he's doing for us, is there any way we really can't make it? If we'll lay hold of his truth and our faith, and we'll believe in him, and we'll take up that serious servant's mind frame. I'm serving God regardless. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Aren't you thankful I only got two pages? Hallelujah. Praise God. I personally understand how the Apostle Paul could preach all night. I really do. Because when you get to talking about the wonderful Word of God, the wonderful truths of God, where could you stop? And if you knew you was leaving the next day, and you knew the need was great, not saying your need's great, some's needs may be greater than the others, but my need's great. Because I need to be reminded. I need to be refreshed. I need to be on fire. Woo. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I did encourage you and tried to share with you, being on fire has nothing to do with emotion or feeling like doing it. Actually, to the contrary. Being on fire for God, you do it regardless. Because you're on fire for God. What's that mean? That means you're death to self and on fire for God. That means you do it regardless of what you feel like. Praise God. You do your work whether you feel like it or not. Man, I had some calamities come my way. Nothing earth-shaking, really. And I had a yard to mow. My calamities were just kind of like taking the wind out of my sails. Anybody ever been there? And I looked at Sister Pepper and said, I just don't feel like mowing the yard today. She looked at me and said, well, you probably better get out there and mow it because you ain't going to have time any other time. And I said, you're right. And you know what I did? I went and mowed the yard. I didn't feel like it, but it had to be done. So young people, Isaac, you don't have to worry about this now because you're not in school this year. But when you come to school and you don't feel like doing schoolwork, you do it anyway. Why? Because you're a serious servant of the King. Woo! Praise God. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord. Let's give Him praise here tonight. God of heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your truths. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for the great plan of Your salvation. Thank You for all the provisions of Your salvation. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of Your word, Your presence, Your love. Oh, glory to God, what You do in our lives. Have You washed us in Your blood? Lord, You took our place on Calvary. Lord, You have done so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, we thank You and we praise You, Lord God. And we want to give ourselves wholly into Your hands, fresh and anew this very night, God. Just a brand new commitment to Jesus, a brand new consecration to the Lord, a brand new dedication to our God. Lord, You've never failed us. You haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us, Lord. You've kept us from many dangers and You kept us from many temptations, Lord. And You've forgiven us when we have fallen. And You've picked us up again, oh God. And we give You praise for that, Lord. Truly, You've done great things in the midst of Your people. And You are worthy, worthy, oh God, of our praise and our thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, I am redeemed by love divine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Is there anybody here tonight that there's something you need to resign to the Lord? There's something that you need to give of your own self-will. You need to give it to Jesus Christ for His wisdom and His direction. Sometimes we forget to ask, Lord, is this what You want done? Is this something that's going to benefit my life, benefit my family, benefit my church, benefit Your kingdom? Is there something here tonight that you need to resign to God, to turn it over to Him and get His directive? I want to give us an opportunity tonight of prayer. These altars are open. I want everybody to come. But I want you to have that on your mind. Lord, I haven't really resigned this to You. I haven't even asked You about this, God. I've just been doing this on my own. And Lord, tonight, I want to know what You got to say. I want to know what Your will is, not mine. Oh, God of heaven, we praise Your holy name. Lord, I thank You, God, for the serious servants of Calvary Lighthouse Church. Lord, men and women that serve You, surrender to You, give unto You, and are longing to do Your will. Oh, praise be to our God. Thank You, Jesus.